Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller, and I'm recording on Wednesday, October 19th, and the time is 9:57 p.m., and that is still British summertime. Okay, now, most investors, and you may well be doing this yourself, are keeping a very close eye on the U.S. stock markets, and they're doing so not least because of their overall size and influence. But there's also the additional interest in next month's presidential election. Even though the result seems to be a fairly straightforward outcome after some recent elections, not least here in the U.K. with the Brexit referendum, not an election, but a referendum, we know that the results or that the polls aren't always that accurate. And I think beyond the presidential election in the U.S., there's even greater interest in the Fed's probable rate hike scheduled for December. Now, it doesn't take too much imagination to appreciate that against that background, we can expect some volatility. That's not maybe all that worrying, but it is going to, I think activity will increase in markets, in other words, and we should be prepared to that, not least on the basis of don't pay up too much and buy on setbacks rather than rallies. Now, we also know that a number of central bankers and also international economists are calling for more fiscal spending to spur GDP growth. And I think rightly so, because central bankers have been almost by default given charge of that overall policy. There are also calls for corporations to invest in the development of their own businesses rather than just parking capital in financial assets or using it for share buybacks. And that would certainly help GDP growth if they were to invest, certainly for the future, if not for the very near term, if corporations were to invest more in the development of their actual businesses. Now, will they actually do that? They've had a very cautious stance for quite some time, but certainly if they saw fiscal spending occurring from governments in addition to the accommodative monetary policies, I myself feel that it's quite likely that corporations would be a little bit more aggressive in terms of forward planning. Now, against this background, I would not want to assume that inflation will remain dormant. In fact, the cost of living has actually increased for most households. Talk to anyone who has children of school or university ages, and we know that they've been experiencing just soaring fees over the last many years. I said parents with children, and also grandchildren, as I say somewhat ruefully, although it's certainly worth it at the price. But back to the topic here. We are seeing, or I think consumers generally are experiencing, rising property prices in many countries. And a few examples: higher rents, increased school fees, which I just touched on, insurance costs, just to mention a few of these items that are contributing to the inflation, which is seldom mentioned in financial reports. Well, I think we may well hear a little bit more mention of inflation, certainly if the weightings in commodities continues to increase in portfolios. I saw an article earlier today saying that fund managers had increased their weightings from below normal to average weighting in commodities, and I suspect that they'll move the commodity weighting up even higher. And they're also investing in emerging markets while cutting back on their bond holdings somewhat. That all makes sense to me. but I will stay with these commodity positions that they've been building up. What's actually caused commodity prices to rise this year? And I've written about this on a number of occasions, but it's certainly worth reviewing at this time. And one is that prices fell to exceptionally low levels, not least because of efficiency of technology in finding not only previously scarce resources in some instances, but also in producing those resources more cheaply than had been the case otherwise. And then there was the belief in the last decade that China was going to go on being the greatest consumer of all time, and with a voracious appetite that would increase in line with China's GDP growth. Well, we know that that demand from China has fallen back very, very considerably, and all those factors combined to push these commodity prices down to extremely low levels. And there's the old adage, which I'm sure you've heard, that the cure for low prices is low prices. In other words, if prices get extremely cheap, then demand starts to pick up. And we've seen that, not with all commodities across the boards, but we've seen respectable performances. Commodities have been one of the better performing sectors, commodity shares I'm now referring to, one of the better performing sectors in the global economy. And I posted a chart of the Brazilian stock market index yesterday, just showed that very, very strong rally. Now, I also described that as a late in the cycle development, and I think it's terribly important to keep that in mind. You think back on these cycles that we've seen in markets, and the commodities are usually the last to perform in the bull market phase. They're low because production was too high prior to the bear market that ended the previous bull market. And then as the next bull market begins to get underway, people are cautious about commodities because the companies that produce them are not making much money, and or are actually losing money. And so they underperform and stay very cheap. But eventually, commodity producers relearn that old lesson that supply is the key variable. And if you want to get prices higher, cut production. They always do it slowly. It's fascinating, but one of the reasons they do it slowly is their own self-interest, because every commodity producer would like to be the one that didn't have to cut production, but would hang in there, and their neighbors would, or their rivals, I should say, would be required to cut production, and the ones that held on are hoping that they could be strong enough to weather the storm while prices are depressed, continue with production while others start to cut their supply, and then the ones that are still producing at that high rate would benefit from the rise in prices. Well, it's understandable that people would think that, but then sooner or later they pretty much all fall in line. And we're even getting OPEC talking about reducing or at least freezing production. A lot of people, including myself, take a somewhat cynical view in terms of what they'll do. Today, I would say it's more jawboning, talking the market up, in other words. But having benefited from that, if there's no beef, in other words, if they're not reducing production, then prices will fall back, and I think then we would see increasing pressure on the oil producers to reduce production somewhat more. And if that doesn't happen, there's always the risk that global uncertainty, wars, strikes, problems can lower production sufficiently to keep prices firm. But what I really want to get back to in this discussion is the fact that Most people really could be forgiven for thinking that there really isn't much inflation around, and so many forecasts are just saying that we're going to live in a low inflation world pretty well indefinitely. Well, I'm always wary of that kind of forecast overall, and I don't think it's hard to envisage what would actually push inflation rates higher. I mean, we've got the very cheap money. That's one factor that could actually help. And incidentally, I should mention the big unmentioned so far in my talk, the big factor that has helped to keep prices low is technology. And that's why we're not going to see any kind of replay of the inflation buildup that we saw, for instance, in the 1970s, if you're like me, old enough to remember that cycle. But it was an important one. But I think that so we won't see those that huge surge in inflation. But will inflation rise? I think very probably, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see evidence of it really going forward and into next year, and maybe inflation rates in where an inflation rate today in a country might be close to zero or below 1%. You know, expect 2% plus next year. That wouldn't surprise me at all. And if that is the case, one asset class that started the year rather well, but then fell back following some highs during July and August, would be the precious metals. And in the last few days, we've seen gold and platinum and silver steady somewhat, albeit after very, very oversold conditions and some sharp, steep declines. And we saw a number of tales of investors who had been actually lowering or getting out and removing, closing their long positions in precious metals. And to me, that's a far better indicator of what lies ahead in the medium-term future than when we hear about commodity investors high-fiving each other and talking about how great an environment it actually is. So my feeling is that inflation pressures are going to be moving somewhat higher, and that a lot of investors will be rediscovering precious metals, and they may well lead the way. Now, elsewhere, looking around the globe, a steady-ish day here in stock markets generally, and Asia perhaps saw a little bit more indifferent activity here, but no huge moves overall. Yesterday was a day, though, that was owned by the bulls, as I'm sure you will recall. But the European stock market started a little weak and then mostly firmed up here today, but modest gains. We're really talking about below half a percent in most instances. Strongest one looks like Spain, up just under 1%. And then on Wall Street was quite firm earlier in the day, but then gradually gave that up. So we see very modest declines in the U.S. market. We're still in that ranging phase here overall. And again, all eyes, as I mentioned in the beginning of this talk, all eyes likely to be focused on that U.S. market and that U.S. economy. And even though you may invest elsewhere, I would keep a close eye on it, because the influence of the U.S. market in this environment is going to be greater than ever, in my opinion. Now, elsewhere, bonds, a quiet day here overall. The dollar index has stalled at least in the last 2-3 days, just around this 98 level, slightly below it here tonight. Sterling is a little firmer, just below that 123 level. I think there's probably some short covering that's taking place there. The Chinese renminbi has paused after another small controlled devaluation against the U.S. dollar that we've seen. Japanese yen is a little firmer. That would help Japanese equities much overall. My feeling is that the stock market environment, other than some commodity plays, is a little risky here in the short term. Some of those big autonomies are still doing quite well overall, but they're very expensive, and we can expect enough turbulence to pull them back in the few months ahead. So I'd be a little bit careful about that. But on a medium to longer term view, I think that go back to technology. Mention that again, that the technological innovation that's occurring in the tech sector generally, and particularly in the biotechnology, those are going to be star performers over the next decade or more. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.